In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle them the fire of thy love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be renewed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. God and amen. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Tonight I will speak about the continuation of Christian meditation, how to meditate according to St. Ignatius of Loyola. I mention this as a continuation. It is because St. Ignatius continues, and if you follow his spiritual exercises, to reiterate and explain again more precisely what has already been given. So it becomes part of who you are, enters into your intellect, your will, your understanding, your entire person. That's part of the exercises, that you're using all your faculties, all your person, your intellect, your will, everything to Christ. So then again, Christian meditation, what is it? As foundations, I would say there are two things. Relationship and conversation. Now, conversation does not always necessarily need to use words. As I gave the example of a husband and a wife who walk together, perhaps on a beach, holding their hands and knowing that they love each other. Now, if we keep these in mind, the method that I lay out from St. Ignatius should not be in such a way that, okay, I do this method, point one, point two, point three, point four, therefore I'm doing, according to calculation, Christian meditation. He lays out a method for you, which is part of the Christian tradition, in order to give you a discipline of mind and heart, which we need especially as beginners. It's a good and holy thing to always be following the way of the Lord. Trace out, say, in the liturgy, is that's part of the obedience of following the Lord. But you could say the real fruits of Christian meditation is your relationship with the Lord, which is shown in your actions. As St. Ignatius says, love is shown more in actions than words. The words in prayer are important in the conversation that we have with the Lord. So then, how does St. Ignatius lay out Christian meditation? He gives us a form that's good that we can use both within, we call it the spiritual exercises, or for the rest of our life. And I'll give you other forms in a sense that maybe not so strict as St. Ignatius in his spiritual exercises, but still follow the same pattern. First, if you're going into the spiritual exercises, you should be seeking a meditative place, silence, okay, and seeking the grace to calm your senses. So the first thing he recommends is that you pray for the grace that you do all things in union with the Lord for His greater glory, following His will. So all things according to His will for His greater glory, all your will, your mind, and your heart to Him. Actually say that and pray that grace. Lord, give me this grace. And then, if you're meditating on a particular thing, can be a place or an abstract reality, which you can form then and imagine it, something imagination in your mind that can help you focus. And once you put that together, then you meditate maybe on the points, the details of the place, or the fantasy that you formed, and talk to the characters in the scene, converse with our Lord, which ends with what he calls a colloquy. Colloquy is that conversation with the Lord. And he recommends it can be like threefold. You talk to our Heavenly Father in a loving way, talk to our Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps at the cross, what he did for you, love for you, and talk to Mother Mary if she intercede for you. But this is a loving conversation. It's not just the method. Okay, I'm doing the method. Now I'm calming my senses, and now I'm doing Christian meditation. The fruit most especially comes in the conversation with the Lord. Then over time, as you more and more practice this loving conversation, becomes part of who you are. So that becomes more and more flowing out of one's soul. And that meditation becomes part of your life throughout the day, the years. For example, this talk, I'm not using notes because I know the material. Because it's become part of me. I preach the spiritual exercises on multiple times. Or when I prepare homilies, as my mother recently asked me, so how do you prepare your homilies? I said, you spend hours upon hours of writing, and I don't. I'm a lifetime reader, meditating on the holy things, perhaps reading 30 to 50 books a year, and taking a couple hours a week, entering into conversation with the Lord, asking him, as a child, what do you want me to say? While reflecting on the scriptures. And quite often, that which I've read comes back to me, the Holy Spirit inspires me, and I make all these connections together in that time of prayer, so that the homily, which is part of Mass, is a continuation of prayer. So the homily is, it were, dipped in prayer. Now we know there are always limitations to this. My limitation is my sinfulness and my blocking the grace of the Lord. An image I like to use of my priesthood and whether I do good things or not is unlike a bank of river on a riverside. So you have the water flowing through the middle and you have the bank on one side and the bank on the other side and the ground underneath. And everything's flowing smoothly, the water runs right through it. But if you dam it up, then it goes in other directions. And that's sometimes how I realize I am. Damming up the flow of the Lord's graces. So perhaps I don't always preach well or teach well or interact well with people because I put myself in the middle of the river. It's always a danger to be seeking. Then we need humility and allow the Lord to correct us and bring us back to allowing the grace to flow through us and ever to be learning more deeply what it means to enter into that. That is part of the allowing the Lord to work, allowing less of us and our human fallen nature to be obstacles. This is part of meditation too. So it reflects back on you. If you're not reflecting back on yourself and your examination of yourself, then you're not really entering into meditation. But it never ends just with reflection on yourself. It always continues to reach out to Jesus Christ, who is all merciful. So as we look at ourselves and we look at the cross, and we look at ourselves and we look at the cross, we can see in Jesus our means of salvation, our hope, our mercy. and more can be more deeply that the Holy Spirit inspires you. Like one of the aspects I've learned over the years with homilies is sometimes the Lord corrects my homilies even in the middle of Mass. I've had experiences, especially around Christmas it seems, where I had something completely planned together to preach on, always praying the Holy Spirit from walking from my seat to the pulpit, and the Lord gave me a new 10-minute homily in that minute, which is not physically possible, but it is with the Holy Spirit, okay? Because the Lord can do things that are beyond us if we allow it. And we can destroy things that the Lord wants if we do it. That's always the recognition to put away ourselves and to put on the Holy Spirit and to seeking Him more and more deeply, asking the grace, especially contrary to our faults. This is one of the great points of St. Ignatius. Ad contra, I call it. So if you find and look and examine yourself, okay, I tend to be lazy, I tend to be procrastinations, or I tend to be eating too much, I tend to be impatient, ask for the opposite graces in that conversation with the Lord. Lord, give me a spirit of discipline. Lord, give me so I speak less and wait on You more patient. Give me so I can fast more. So you pray for the opposite graces, and don't just, that's part of the exercise, the activity. Okay. So let's give some more practical examples. See, once you start to enter into this, as I said, it becomes part of who you are, and no longer just point by point what you do. So it's not a formula, but a form that allows you to enter into a seeking of the Lord. So, for example, we can go over to the Stations of the Cross, and you look at the first station. Now, it's a good and holy thing that you might follow a script, as we're doing on Fridays, and reading it. But in the Ignatius model, you can also ask the Holy Spirit to inspire. So you might say, okay, you start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, may I do all things for the greater glory and praise of You, Lord, to follow Your will and to be seeking You in all things. And then you look at the scene, Jesus is condemned to death, and you think, okay, Jesus was there, I could picture Him like I have right here, before Pilate. I can hear the conversation, Pilate speaking about Jesus, and Jesus responding. And I hear perhaps the servants in the background, the smell of the aroma. I can hear perhaps the crowd murmuring in the background, the water being poured over Pilate. And I talk to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I have condemned You to death. I recognize it was my sins that caused You to be there. And I see too, I myself sometimes in Pilate, that I was the one that was condemning You for convenience reasons, political reasons, because I didn't want to see You that day. Lord Jesus, help me to overcome my difficulties, help me never to turn away from You and to take up my cross with You. These are just some examples. We're looking at the scene, you're entering into the scene, you're talking to our Lord. So you can use your own words. Conversation, and it should be heartfelt. Or, of course, we can do this with any of us. we go to the 13th station. Jesus is taken down from the cross. So you recognize this. Mother Mary holding Jesus, who has now died. Maybe John the Evangelist there with her. And we get all the details. Okay, Joseph of Arimathea in the background. The Pharisees, perhaps, of just walking away. The Roman soldiers are still there, cleaning things up. It's dark. You've just been shocked from an earthquake. And things just seem to be disturbing. You enter into the scene, you talk to Mother Mary. Mother Mary, my heart reaches out with yours. Jesus, why did you have to die? Jesus, this is so sorrowful for her. Jesus, I know you will resurrect, but this time is painful. Jesus, I know it's my sins that causes your sufferings and Mother Mary's sufferings. Mother Mary, help me to walk through those sufferings. Help me to walk through the sufferings of my life. And I see in your sufferings, the sufferings of so many other mothers and those who are forgotten, who lost loved ones, the refugees in wars, the mothers of innocent ones. Help me to be there with you at this time and to be there through you for all those in time. Because I know that Jesus, as the God of all times, is suffering with all peoples of all times. And Jesus, help me to meditate more, to enter into this and pray for those souls and to be there. And Mother Mary, pray for me that I may have these graces to pass through the sufferings, to be a sign of faith as you were. So these are examples that conversation which is not formulaic. See, some people might have difficulty, most people have difficulty at first entering into this type of meditation. And you may feel more comfortable going back to books, sticking on the discursive meditation, as we say, discursive would be that you're following line by line. It's not wrong, but the Lord is there calling to you. Enter into just listening to me and talking to me. That's what he really wants. And over time, it can be just a being in his presence. Like Mother Mary, if you can imagine, she might not have said many words when she was holding Jesus in her arms after he died. Just there, perhaps crying, just loving him, holding him, wishing him. It's the silence of adoration, the silence of pain, the silence of giving one's soul to the Lord completely, the silence of, it's beyond the depths of what we can really imagine. But it is a communication. Now, once you know this form, it doesn't need to be necessarily outside the spiritual exercises that you always and necessarily follow this form of the prayers. But it's good in the holy thing that you have discipline, you have a structure, and that you have material there before you to go back to meditate on if you become distracted or the Lord is not giving that grace to be remain quiet and with him. So for example, in like a holy hour of adoration, you come at the beginning and you might have your prayer intentions, praying for particular souls, and you list them in your mind or have them on a piece of paper. And you might have a particular Bible book that you're meditating on at that time, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and you're going through the verses. But then, when the Holy Spirit strikes you, when you enter into that scene, you just sit there and talk to Jesus. And live in the silence, live in the conversation. And as the holy hour comes to an end, you give thanks to the Lord, you praise Him, and you talk to Jesus for all the graces He perhaps He's given you in the holy hour. This conversation can be even just, in some sense, like nonsense conversation. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, I praise you. You don't need to use mantras, Maranatha. Jesus, my Lord, that you repeat again and again. It can be helpful for some, as in the Eastern Rite traditions, but it shouldn't be a psychological method. Okay, I'm training my mind to calm down. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus that calms you down. And the prayers of the Mother Mary. That is enough. So this is the foundations of Christian meditation, which comes more deeply as one trains oneself. Enters into the silence, into the attempting to reach out to the Lord. And over time, in the normal order of things, the distractions will more fall away. You enter into that prayer of quiet, and don't be surprised if sometimes distractions come back or anxieties or depressions enter in. These are cycles that the Lord allows. What are the meaning of the cycles? What I mean is, you're entering into, you feel getting more comfortable with less distractions. And hopefully you're putting away the discursive, the reasoning meditation. You're entering in their silence, you're getting all these consolations, and then something happens in your life, or over some time it just seems that you are restless and you're becoming more and more distracted in prayers. Can be the Lord calling you to particular intercession for somebody, that occasionally happens, or it's just the recognition that you should have that you desperately need the grace of the Lord. And He's pulling away those consolations so you enter into desolation and recognize what He gave you and what you continue to need. The grace of the Lord. This is the cycle of consolations and depressions or desolations that the St. Ignatius speaks about. He says this is normal in the spiritual life. When you're in time of desolation, you should remember, recall the consolations the Lord gave to you and will give to you in time, and take heart, knowing that these are gifts from Him. We're not supposed to live on candy alone, or candy from the Lord alone, but from everything He gives to us in love, which sometimes is the desolations, just as we are following the life of Christ. The Heavenly Father called Jesus to have the consolations of doing great miracles, walking on water, and seeing crowds of people following Him, and the desolations of the agony of the garden, and Mother Mary holding her son after the cross. These have meaning. You can't get to the resurrection without passing through the cross. If you don't have all those meditations, you don't have the fullness of the spiritual life, you don't have the fullness of the relationship with the Lord that He is calling you to. So these cycles too are part of the spiritual life, part of that relationship with the Lord. And they should be part of your conversation with the Lord. Prayer, too, can be sometimes in that conversation. Lord, I'm distracted. Lord, I'm anxious. Lord, you just see the thousand things coming upon me now. You see these people that are attacking me. You see this, what I'm facing. All that is in the Bible, by the way, in the Psalms. If you read through the Psalms, some of them are complaining Psalms. Lord, there's people attacking me. Lord, my best friend attacked me. Lord, don't you know that I'm hungry? All in the Psalms. Okay? If it's in the Bible and we pray the Psalms, you can pray the same way. But then part of the conversation is you have to listen for the Lord to respond. Which sometimes can be the following. You're waiting for something from me to say, right? Okay. Silence for a while so that you learn to listen more deeply to Him and wait on Him. And then perhaps He gives you a response beyond your imagination or in a way that you don't want to hear, but you know it's correct. This too is part of the conversation with the Lord. So let's not be aloof to that listening to the Lord. And enter into this time of Lent to take hold of that practice of Christian meditation in the right way. In time, you may be able to enter into the actual spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, which our religious order offers quite often. You might be able to do it soon, again, somewhere in Ontario. But you can already take hold of some of the fruits of seeking the Lord in the Catholic tradition, the Christian meditation, to discipline yourself, to have materials for meditation, to converse with the Lord, and to hear His response. The Lord be with you. The intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows, and the Precious Blood of Jesus, I bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.